This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
My name is Jennifer Smith, and I am here with the wonderful and beautiful Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
You always make me sound so amazing.
You are so amazing. Why would I not put you over? You're my beautiful, wonderful co-host.
Well, you think that. I don't know how many other people think that.
Excuse you. Everybody thinks that.
Well, I'm sure not everybody.
I only hang out with
I'm an acquired taste.
Same. So we just got done with Thanksgiving. Can we vent about Thanksgiving for a minute?
Sure.
I mean, okay.
You had family. Okay, let's clarify for some people first. Yeah. We have friends that know this, but you had like family at like all at your house Thanksgiving, and I had, I think, more people. I think I fed and served more people, but you had like all family where you don't get to pick and choose who's at your house. Mm-hmm. And I had Friendsgiving.
Which is like so much better.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love my family, obviously, but so like my in-laws were here for 6 days. And then John's aunt and cousin from Ohio came in for 4 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, 4 days. So, and that was great because we haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in like 4 years. But, you know, it's just, there's just people, you know, everywhere in your house. And it's funny for me because since we've moved, it, you know, just being real, you know, I don't know anybody here. It's lonely, so it's nice to have people here, but at the same time, I'm used to a certain level of my own space.
Yes.
And then that goes away, and then, you know, you feel this, since you're hosting, you feel this obligation to, like, make sure everyone's entertained. But luckily, I have an entertainer who lives with me named Ethan Smith, so he took care of a lot of that for me. But then, see, like, he's still, you know, he's still allowed to, he can just go off to his room for a couple hours if he gets tired of everybody's faces. And I can't really do that, although I did. But there was a lot of drinking.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think if you are hosting a bunch of people and they don't understand that sometimes, like, whether you're an adult, like, it seems like they're like, oh, but he's a kid, he needs a break. Well, yeah, but don't we all need breaks? Because, I mean, you've just introduced, like, crap ton of people into my private bubble. Mm-hmm. And if I get overwhelmed, I shouldn't have to feel bad that I need to go to my room for a period of time.
Right. Especially if, you know, if there's been a lot of whiskey and then, like, I need to go lay down for a little bit.
Right. Well, anytime you have, like, any sort of alcohol and varying opinions, mm-hmm. and once again, you're in my personal bubble, mm-hmm. you know, like, everybody needs a break.
I'm mostly joking, you know. I honestly, it was fun for the most part. So it was just long, you know. It was just a long week.
Makes sense.
And I ate entirely too much, like a ridiculous amount, like a shameful amount of food.
So I didn't at first because I cooked. And so I looked at it, like, all freaking day long. Like, I made everything except for two of the pies that were brought by other people, the corn pudding that was brought by someone else, and technically, Jerry, like, got the turkey in and out of the fryer, but I kept having to go out and, like, he'd lift it up and I'd check the temperature. So I technically did cook the turkey, too. So I cooked everything but those two pies and that corn pudding. And then I was so mad at myself because I had a whole tray of deviled eggs. Forgot them.
Oh,
they were, they got left in the fridge. Like, they got eaten a little bit afterwards, so some of them were eaten. And then the turkey cooker that we have, the fryer, it's an oilless one. So it actually has a pan that goes in the bottom, and it captures all the drippings. Because, you know, a lot of times if you deep fry a turkey, you can't make gravy from the turkey. Mm-hmm. Well, this one you can, because it doesn't take oil. Well, I forgot
the gravy. Wait. Explain to me an oilless fryer. Is it like an air fryer?
Kinda. Yeah, it's thermo heat. Do you still use the propane tank?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all science-y.
Yeah, because I can't even, like, picture this or imagine it anyway.
It's great. Like, it still has, like, a crispy skin. It still looks like it was deep. Well, let me say, the only part of it that doesn't look like it was deep fried is, you know, when you deep fry a turkey and you have those black, like, charred, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
Spots, you don't have that.
Hmm. Where did you get this contraption?
Academy Outdoors. Huh. Place. It was on the sale.
Interesting. All right.
Yes.
Continue.
Very pleased with that. So I made all this food, and then I got really mad because I was like, I forgot to bring out the deviled eggs. Crap, I forgot to bring out the cranberry sauce. Crap, I didn't make gravy. And I was really mad at myself for about 45 minutes, and then I stood back and I was like, you know what? You had almost 15 people in your house today. No political rant incidents. And everyone, even if they didn't enjoy your food, seemed to enjoy your food. And you cooked everything else. So if you forgot things that technically you made too,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty okay day.
Yeah, that's good. That's good that you did that. And then we had a group call at one point and did shots.
I did.
Thought was fun.
I actually couldn't. They don't have shot glasses, so I don't know if you noticed that I had the whole bottle.
Yeah.
It was like a brand spanking new, not cheap bottle of like a special label. And I was like, I can't find no shot glass. So I was just like, but my throat had been hurting all day. And I was like, great, I'm getting sick the day before Thanksgiving.
Ugh.
And I went to bed shortly after. Well, a couple hours after, because it was actually earlier in the evening than I thought it was when we did that. I actually went to bed about, like, 11 o'clock that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I was like, my throat actually feels really good.
See? It cures stuff.
Well, actually, that's the new thing this year. Have you read the study? There are doctors that are telling people, go back to the remedies your grandmother used.
Hell yeah.
And whiskey, lemon, and honey mixed together, and you drink it in a shooter, and you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are not responding to antibiotics I'm not a crazy like anti-vaxxer or don't take antibiotics person. It's just they're saying that people, I know you know that, they may not know that, but they're saying that people are overly given antibiotics.
Oh,
and
definitely.
So like if you can avoid it, go back to what your grandma did,
yeah.
You know, peppermint and whiskey or lemon honey and whiskey or...
Yeah, the last couple times I've been sick, I got sort of pissed off because nobody would give me any antibiotics, and I had to basically demand it. Like, look, you know, I've done this for a couple months now. Like, just give me some fucking meds.
They're usually pretty nice to me because by the time I go to the doctor, because I have regular doctor visits for my lovely autoimmune crap enough, that when I go to the, like, doctor because I'm sick, like, I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm usually walking out the door with a piece of paper that says I have, like, flu and strep. Jenny can attest to that.
That's true.
Like, last year when, or no, what was it, back a few months ago when I came in with the flu,
yeah.
And she was like, you were the first case of the flu in 4 months. How? And I'm like, I don't know.
Germs are just attracted to you for some reason.
Well, the only place I had been in like 4 days before that, because you know I work from home, had been the emergency room. That's when I had to go to the ER this summer for my migraine had gotten that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Honey, I guess you got the flu from the emergency room." I was like, "Yay!
Yeah, sounds right."
That's about like me.
Oh God,
I feel like the last 5 Geek and Sassies have been like, hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy, where I'm medicated.
Here are the list of things that are wrong with me. How are you?
Today. Just today.
Right.
So you can pretty much bet from here on out, if you're listening to Geeky Sassy, Miranda's medicated.
And Ginny is drunk. Because that's how.
And maybe medicated.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I'm drinking, but I'm not drunk.
No, when you're drunk, you're not drunk.
Yeah. All right. It's so funny because sometimes, as much as I love you and this show and doing podcasts, sometimes I feel like, I'm not up for it, you know, because I don't feel like being funny or being whatever I am. And then when I do it, I feel better. Every single time. I mean, there's never a time where I'm like, I wish I had not have done that. So what is it about me that just does that mental block thing? Is it like...
I think that's all of us, because mentally you're sitting there and you're like, but I got to do that thing. And even if it's something you want to do, you're like, but that means I got to move. Or
yeah.
I got to put pants on. Or
well, I mean, I'm not wearing pants, but...
Well, I'm wearing leggings. Some people don't think those are pants, but...
Well, they are.
They are.
My point is, I'm glad that we're doing this, and...
I'm always glad.
I appreciate it. Yep.
And I appreciate you.
I'm thankful for you, Miranda.
I was about to say that, and then I was like, dang it,
oh, gosh.
Did you guys do that? Did you guys do the, what are you thankful for?
Well, we tried. Margaret tried, and then me and Ethan had a little dust-up before the meal, because we had worked our... I'd cooked all the day before. They had cooked... that morning. So just,
I remember the stuffing.
Oh yeah.
Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just leave that at that.
So, you know, a lot of fucking work went into that food, and Ethan was trying to be a dick before we were eating. And I kind of like pulled him to the side and was like, look, do not ruin this meal for everybody. Everybody has worked their ass off. I don't want to hear not one word from you. And he was like blaming it on me. I'm like, look, you sit there and shut up and eat, and I'll sit here and shut up and eat, and we don't have to talk to each other, okay?
Right.
So it was, you know, some tension there. So then when people try to do the thankful thing, and, you know, Ethan said something dickish, and I said something dickish. I think it was something like, I'm thankful for Jack Daniels or something like that. But other people did more sincere things, so it made me look good. And then it just kind of petered out at that point. So.
I didn't do it, but I asked because I'm sure she doesn't care me saying her name on the podcast, but you know, we try not to say certain people's names because we're not sure how they feel. When one of our Friendsgiving guests got here at daycare/school, they had asked her little boy. So I know you know who I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
They'd ask her little boy what he was thankful for. And he's like, me, myself, I'm thankful for me.
There you go.
And I was like, yes, that is great.
That's good.
I love it. But he was
kid
like, me?
Kid has some self-confidence.
Right? Like, damn, I need that.
I know, right?
Why didn't I think of that one?
Wait
for everybody to get to me. Because my grandparents used to do that when we were little. I should have waited for everybody to get to me and been like, or waited until I was in college and probably drunk. Mm-hmm. I've been like, I'm thankful for numero uno. Because I got out of bed today.
But did y'all do that, though, for real?
No, we didn't. No.
Okay. Well.
But people texted and was like, I'm thankful that you invited me, or I'm grateful that we have this, you know, we have friends, or things like that. It just made me feel good, but we didn't do the... We're very impromptu. We're like, okay, eat. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like making people feel uncomfortable. So,
yeah.
Like, if you want to pray, you pray. Like, you pray over that meal. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell everybody what you're thankful for? You go for it. But I hate being like... The first few times we did it, like, I thought it was, like, mandatory. So I would be like, so-and-so, would you like to pray? Because I thought that maybe other people wanted to pray. Mm-hmm. Or I'd be like, let's say what we're thankful for. And I, like, I felt some people being a little uneasy because, like, they had the spotlight on them. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? You do you. Mm-hmm. Like, eat and talk. And it's really neat to see everybody mingle because, you know, we have people here that are, that come that are, like, all part of our friends groups. And then other people, like, Eric's parents come. And then, you know, so there's kind of people that, like, know each other because they have all been to my house. And then there's other people that are, like, part of our friends group. So.
Right.
Kind of cool seeing everybody interact and get along. No political discussions at my house.
Yes.
Well, they were, well, we had some, but they were like after the majority of people left and it was like-minded or not like-minded, but you can't, you don't yell. You're like, oh, I appreciate your opinion, but that's, I feel blah, blah, you know, like we didn't have none of that left.
We only had the one awkward moment where I was looking on Twitter and then someone had tweeted something and then I made a comment about it and then three of them do the head duck and walk away. just like we're not doing this. And I just giggled and went on. So
that's funny.
Yep. Dodged a bullet there. All right. So, I know it hasn't been that long since we had our last episode with Greg, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, have you had any time to do some streams or reads?
A couple, but not as many as you.
Okay.
I get all stressed, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta watch all that. And then I'm like, and it's like, because somebody told me I had to, you didn't tell me, but like, I'm being told to, nobody's going to tell me what to do, you know, mm-hmm. You know how I am. Anyway. Yeah. So what do you want to do first? Do you want to do streams or reads?
Let's do streams.
Streams. Okay. I have two, and one of these, Jenny and I try to sit here and we're like, did I talk about this last time? No, I didn't. Yes, I did. So if I did, you get a double dose. And if I didn't, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried several of the new shows this year. Both of these, I believe, are CBS. Yeah, these are both CBS shows. The first one is a Sunday night. It's called God Friended Me.
Yes.
I was super afraid that this was going to be, like, religious in the sense of, like, shove religion down my throat,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. And if that's how it was, that would have been fine. I just, it would not. And if that's for you, listener, go right ahead. But that's not for me. Like, I don't like it shoved down my throat. So I was afraid
that's
of that.
That's what she said.
I was,
go ahead.
Right? Ha ha. But I was intrigued at the same time. I mean, the thought that someone sends you a Facebook request, claims to be God, and then randomly sends you people that you should be friends with and, you know, or giving you those friend suggestions. So the whole deal is his dad is a minister. He is an atheist. And so he actually has a podcast, which that was another factor that was really cool to me. Mm-hmm. So he has a podcast called The Millennial Prophet, and he talks about his version of, like, faith and loving and caring, because he's a good person, because oftentimes when people hear the word atheist, they think not a good person. But he's a great person, but he gets this friend request on Facebook, essentially. It's a, I think maybe it is Facebook. Anyway. He gets a friend's request from a page claiming, or a person claiming to be God. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is dumb. So he like denies the request at first. And every time he denies it, something awkward happens. Like something weird happens. Like he loses his entire presentation or just different things like that. So finally he's like, you know what? I'll play. I'll be your friend. And the minute he accepts the friend request, it starts telling him people that he should be friends with. And he starts crossing the paths of these people. And he realizes, like, small things he does, he's actually helping these people.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, so for whatever reason, whoever this person is claiming to be God wants me to help these people. So in my mind, I'm thinking, and I may be calling, I may be wrong on the name of the show, but it's like in the 90s. I think it was called Early Edition.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Okay. So where he gets the newspaper and mm-hmm. something happens on the cover where he's like, oh, my God.
It's
like,
a day ahead.
Yeah, it's a day ahead. Yeah. And he has to try to change it or help the person, like help. He has to figure out what he has to do to make it stop or to change it or to
save somebody.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So essentially, it's like an updated version of Early Edition.
Hmm.
Now you got phones and it's Facebook and there are religious tones to it. Obviously, there's going to be when the main character's father is a preacher. They do go to church every now and then. They show snippets of sermon. So, I mean, that is, you know, things like that are obviously going to be in there. But he gets these friend requests, and each time the person needs help. They may not want to acknowledge that they need help, but they need help in some manner. And in the first episode, it ends up bringing him someone that is like a consistent, is a friend, if she turns into a very good friend. And she is a main character and is there all the time. So it's like him and his buddy, they work together, and his buddy's helping him trying to crack, his buddy's a hacker. He keeps saying, I'm not a hacker, I'm a code, blah, 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 blah. But they're trying to figure out who God is. That's their whole thing, is they keep trying to, like, triangulate and figure out where these, you know, backdoor into the internet, where he is or who it is. And every time they almost think they find it, they come up empty-handed, essentially.
Hmm. Well, all right. So you're enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. The main character is played by Brandon Michael Hall, named Miles. And the dad, everybody's going to know the dad as soon as you see him. He's Joe Morton. He's been in, like, all kinds of things. He was on Proof. He was in Eureka, The Good Wife. I don't know. He's one of those that when you see him, you know, like you're like, oh, I know you. He was even, he was on Smallville.
Okay. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So got a great cast. If nothing else, check it out for that. I mean, if you try it and you're like, this is a little more religion than I wanted, then okay. I feel like it's the right kind of, because there's that push and pull. His dad truly believes and he doesn't. And I think it's a good push and pull of that.
Okay.
It's not overly. It's basically more about having compassion and, you know, right and wrong and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm digging it.
Are those, that you said that was CBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Keep me updated on that.
I sure will.
What else? You got anything?
Yeah, the other one also on CBS is FBI.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Well, to be honest, I watched episode one, and I was going to come tell you guys, you don't waste your time.
Oh, really?
And well, there was like 4 or 5 minutes left in the first episode, and I was like, okay, gave this the good old college try. And then, I don't even remember what it was, but they did something at the very end that I was like, oh. Like, they finally, because for the whole first episode, I felt like it was nothing about, it was just this case that they were working. Mm-hmm. And on shows like this, like, that I like, NCIS, Criminal Minds, yes, it's about the case, but there's always the backstory of the actual people. Like, you know, in this instance, the agents.
Right.
So I was, like, waiting for there to be something. They'd given you little snippets, and I was like, that's not enough. Like, I want to like these agents so that I want to watch the show because I want, yeah, the cases are great every week, but I want their life to play into the case, and I want, you know, I want that drama.
The formula, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And it didn't happen until, like, the very end of the episode.
Hmm.
I was a little disappointed that it took that long. I have, it's one that, because you only have so much space on the DVR, I've not been watching DVR. I just watch it on the app.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've done the same with God Friended Me. Then you don't have to worry about what gets deleted.
That's why they have those apps.
Right? And it's got, I always say her name wrong, so maybe I shouldn't even try to say it. But do you remember the show I loved that went off a few years ago, Rookie Blue?
Vaguely.
One of the main cops from that is on this, is one of the main special agents. Mm-hmm. Missy Peregrine?
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
She's one of the main agents, and the other main agent, I had never seen him before, but he's not hard to watch. Mm. Special Agent Omar. Yeah. He is... I'm not going to try to say his name. I can't ever say it. She just calls him OA all the time. OA.
Okay.
Obviously, because his name's difficult. He's Middle Eastern, and it plays into, not only is he Middle Eastern, but he is very proud of being American. He served in the war. He's a military veteran. Went through some horrible, horrible shit. Like, and that was the thing that I was like, oh, in the last 4 minutes, you hear some of a little bit more of his backstory, and you're like, I need to know more. So he's dealing with that. She's dealing with her husband was killed in an accident. So she's a widow, and they're supposed to be, you know, seasoned agents, but young agents. Mm-hmm. So they're both trying to, like, figure the world out together.
Okay.
Very interesting. I like them. And he's pretty.
Well, that always helps.
It does. And they also have Cela Ward and Jeremy Sisto. Mm-hmm. You know, names that people know, so.
I like Jeremy Sisto.
I do too. He's a special assistant special agent in charge. Like, he's in charge. Mm-hmm. And then Cela Ward is, like, over him.
Okay.
Of, like, the FBI group. So. And they have, like, some background people that are regulars that you like. But it's mainly about, as far as backstory so far, it's only been about the two special agents. I'm assuming Jeremy and Stila's characters will get some of that eventually. Mm-hmm. But not yet.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You're doing a much better job at checking out some of those new shows than I did.
Well, I mean, it's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with some seasons. People just don't have any shows that they're interested in checking out, and others they have a list that they're trying to figure out how to do it all.
Yeah, I mean, there was. When we did our preview, there were some, but it's like I feel this obligation to stay on top of CW or whatever, and...
And that in itself is hard.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's like I can stay, like, completely up with some shows, or I can, like, watch a couple of a lot of different shows, so.
Which I have tried pretty much everything I said I was going to try. I have,
I'll pick one to try for next time, so I'm not completely full of shit.
Did you ever watch Charmed originally?
No.
Maybe pick that one.
Okay.
That's their new version on CW.
Okay.
I'll get into that one next time.
All right.
That's not too bad. But yeah, maybe try that one.
All right, I'll do that. The couple of things that I have been watching, let's see, like I said, I'm caught up on the CW shows, but you said you are not. So I won't say too much, except for Legends of Tomorrow is always awesome. And I worry about them, like, having these huge gaps in between, because their mid-season finale is, like, December, and then they won't come back till, like, April, so there's this huge gap.
But CW is not the only ones doing that this time, because I want to say...
Yeah.
The NCISs and FBI are doing that, so that's fairly the new thing now, I think, to make... Seasons in general last longer, maybe?
I guess, but with the CW in particular, when they shift the nights that your show was on and the time that your show was on,
that's
and then they
true.
Do these huge blocks of no show, then people lose. I mean, they shouldn't, because Legends of Tomorrow is awesome, but, you know, if they start seeing lower ratings, then you can definitely see that this is why. Because you have to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And people, like, you know, they want to know when their shit's going to be on, and if it's not, they forget, or they think it gets canceled, or whatever. So, it makes me really sad to think that they might be ramping down on that show, because seriously, it just gets better every year. So, I'm concerned about it. The other shows, you know, I think, like I said, The Flash started slow for me, but it has since picked up. Arrow's been consistently good. Supergirl is
complicated. I'm way more caught up on that one. It is complicated, but not bad.
Not bad. No, definitely not bad. I think that show misses Mon-El quite a bit. I think that there's a lot of what makes that show work that's sort of not present right now. But, you know, what they do have there is working well. So, mm-hmm. you know, it'll keep going for sure. Another show that is, I have conflicting feelings about, and I know you don't watch it at all, but you do have Facebook, so there's no way that you don't know at least a little bit about what's going on with the show, is The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I have enough people on Facebook that I, for the most part, know what's going on at all time.
And it, you know, it was one that I definitely considered just giving up on, especially by the season finale last time. But I feel extremely invested, and I couldn't just not watch the new season. So just today I watched the mid-season finale. And, you know, like I said, I'm conflicted. It's interesting that they are trying something different. Like, I will give them that. Like, they can tell, like, they know that they have come into this rut, or that, you know, the ratings are down, and I think that creatively, they just got stuck. So, it's interesting watching them try to dig themselves out of that hole. You know, maybe, like, becoming zombie-like in itself. Because what they're doing now is compelling. And I say that, like, with hesitation, because I want to acknowledge that it's not all the best, you know? But what I saw today, like, The Walking Dead has a history of great mid-season finales, and this one ranks up there for me. It had one of the best, like, creepy zombie fights that I've seen, you know, just they were in this foggy graveyard, and it sounds really dumb, but it looked really good, and it was very menacing. The tension was really high. A very notable character died, so, in a very shocking way, and they just left you hanging. So, there's good stuff. There's good stuff. You know, what they're doing with Rick and the movies and Maggie and all this stuff, I don't know about that, but, you know, sticking with the main show and not watching the other show, you know, I kind of admire their ability to try something different.
How much longer do you really see it going, though?
You know, I don't know. I know that the fan base is, like, extremely rabid. Like, as turned off as myself and several other people got about the show, there are, you know, 10 for every one of us, you know, that turned it off. Well, you know, contemplating turning it off.
Right.
Or those that just said, like, okay, I'm out week to week. When it comes on Netflix, I'll do that. But I'm done with this, you know, being something that I give my attention to weekly. But, you know, I think that the fan base is strong enough that it can survive. But I'm real iffy about Rick in the movies, you know. And if you don't know what I mean by that, just Google it. But
right. I mean, everybody should.
Yeah. You know. And again, that's different. So, like, maybe that'll work. You know, and maybe by then I'll be ready to see me some Rick Grimes again. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it needs to kind of, you know, because I do know a lot of people saying, I think I'm done. I'm almost done. Maybe that's what it needs to, like, bring life into it, so to speak.
It's interesting. And real quick, the other thing that a couple other things, but on the DC Universe app, there is a show called Titans. And have I talked about Titans here?
I don't think you have, to be honest.
I don't think that I did either. I don't remember.
I know you talked about the service.
Right, I did.
Shows would be coming to the service.
Right. So I've seen probably the first five episodes because I'm one behind. And, you know, I don't have a history with Titans or Teen Titans other than, like, Teen Titans Go. I've never read, I was on the Rebirth comic book for a little bit, but not for long. So I'm pretty fresh with these characters. You know, I know Robin, but I didn't know what to expect on this one, and I really liked that it was going to be darker. A lot of people didn't, but I tend to sort of lean towards that anyway. So give me the bloody ass fights, and give me the bad words, and give me the sex scenes. Like, I'm good with all those things. So let's make it dark. I don't care. But what I've seen on Titans has been extremely excellent. Super surprising and just really fucking good. Like,
I've heard that from other people too.
In particular, there's a couple things in episode 4. They introduced the Doom Patrol, which I know shit about. Know nothing about the Doom Patrol.
That's cool.
In this one episode, they make me care about Doom Patrol. Like, it's very effective, and the characters looked good. The acting is really good. The fights are really good. Some of the CGI is questionable, but man, compelling. And then there's just one of the villains is called the Nuclear Family, and they're creepy as shit. And I don't know anything about them either, but I just thought this idea is wonderful. I love it. But certainly check out Titans, and you know, if you have the app, or, you know, somebody can hook you up with their login. Of course, nobody I know would ever do that, but, you know, it's surprisingly good. And the episode that I'm behind on was the introduction of Jason Todd. So I'm really eager to see how they play that out, between the old Robin and the new Robin. What was the other? Oh, just real quick, I was going to mention, I'm 2 episodes away from finishing Daredevil season 3. Because my husband committed the cardinal sin of...
Did he watch ahead?
He started it without me, and then he finished it without me.
Sure, he did that on Punisher, and I wanted to punish him!
I'm like, hello? Have we met? Like, no. Because I said, you want to finish Daredevil? We got 2 episodes. And then he gave me that look. I'm like, you already finished it, didn't you? Yeah, I watched it. I'm like, son of a bitch. So, now I'm going to have to finish the last 2 episodes. But, it's a mixed bag. Karen Page, we finally get Karen Page's backstory, which, you know, kudos to them.
Took them long enough.
Right, for three seasons to finally get to that. And I thought it was worth the wait. I thought that episode was really good. Some people are not fans of Karen, but that's fine. I like Karen. Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk is still extremely awesome. They have a new character in Bullseye who has an extremely effective backstory as well. So they're doing good things. There are a couple, really, the more I think about it, as much as I like Matt Murdock, he feels incomplete. He feels something that I can't really put my finger on that is not bad. It's just not quite what I wanted from him. And maybe it's just because they're doing this whole crisis of faith thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does find out some devastating information. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll see how the last two episodes, how they play it out. And then maybe that will wrap it up for me. Definitely watch it, though, if you've seen the first two seasons. I mean, definitely watch it. All right, so I think that's it.
All right.
I sure did talk a lot.
So you don't realize how much, like, you want to talk about something until you actually start.
Yeah,
I don't mean you. I mean, like,
right, in general.
People in general. Yeah.
You're just like, hey, I've been talking for a couple minutes about this, so next.
You're funny.
Next would be Reeds.
Reeds?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What you got for that? Anything?
I think I've read this book. Okay, so I'm on a, like, reread because what happened is I don't remember finishing it. Like, I swore up and down like I didn't finish it. And I remembered at what point, like, so I rechecked it out from the library and I was like, okay, I was all the way on chapter. I was back at, like, the end. I had only, like, 100 pages left. And so I sat down and I started reading those last 100 pages and I'm like, nope, remember that. So then I thumbed forward some more and I was like, read. Oh, remember that. Thumb forward some more. I guess all I couldn't remember of it was, like, the last two chapters. So, I may have talked about this before. I've definitely talked about this series before. It is typically found in the YA area. Possibly would be considered in some places mid-grade. I don't know. But it is the Joseph Delaney Last Apprentice. Last Apprentice series.
Yes.
Book three. Because remember they made a movie.
Yeah.
They made a lot of changes. And yeah. So people were like,
didn't do well.
Right, didn't do well. Mm-hmm. But this is book three. And you're following the apprentice and the spook and the apprentice. Because that's what the... That's his job title. He is a spook. He runs away. He takes care of demons and entities when you have a problem. And people don't typically like spend much time. It's a very lonely profession because clearly you are seen as like a bad omen. Like,
right.
You're coming, then oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lonely lifestyle, and it typically tends to be a job. And I don't remember why this happened this way, but it's a job. Most 9 times out of 10 for the seventh son of the seventh son, because there's something all like mystical about that.
Right. This is ringing a bell.
Yeah. So Tom Ward is the apprentice. He's the seventh son of the seventh son. And in this one, they are going to the spook's winter home, as you may have it. And their trouble bestows them pretty much the minute that they get there. And this is more about this one is not just, because, you know, the book one and two has been about him learning. And yes, he's learning, but this has been him and the spook learning their places with each other, if that makes sense.
Okay.
The spook is old. He's starting to get old. He gets sick at one point throughout this book, and it just shows you, it shows him how old he is and how much he's going to, he has to let go, and he has to let him do as an apprentice. Apparently there's a set number of years for the apprenticeship, though, so he can't go off and be a spook on his own because the spook's old. I mean, now I guess if he just died, then yeah, your apprenticeship is over, but... So, typically they're taking care of witches and boggarts and ghosts, and this time they're actually having to take care of this kid that, I say kid, he's probably, the way they describe him, he's probably 18 to 22-ish, that was an apprentice of the spooks and believes he is the spook's son. He's not. And it's kind of, it's interesting. He ends up, he's dark. He took the dark path. So he kind of Voldemorted it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to call up this horrible evil beast, far more disturbing than Voldemort could have called up, called Golgoth. Mm-hmm. And it's the give and take there and learning, but they have to figure out how to stop him and where he lies, and then the friend that I was telling you about, that she is a witch, and he kind of, the spook doesn't really like that he saved her, but he lets her, and I think it's more so he can keep his eye on her. But so she's palling around, she's pretty witty. You know, there's that character that there's always that witty friend. It's the little witch girl. She's pretty funny. So even though it's like YA, I really enjoy these. I want to say there's a crap ton of them. There may be like 14.
Oh, wow.
I know. Jerry is on this book series that he didn't realize, like, when you include all, like, the spinoff and, like, when you read them all in order, he's like, I think I'm going to go read something else for a while because I'm on book like 24. I was like,
oh, God.
I can't.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, yeah, I reread, so, like, the last 50 pages, apparently. Nonetheless, I read it. That's what matters.
Remember when we used to read comic books?
Remember when I used to do a lot of things? Like watch CW shows?
Yeah.
Remember when I convinced you comic books were great, and then I got so far behind that I think I'm like literally 2 years behind on one comic?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
And I pulled books for like 6 months without reading any of them. So I have 6 months worth and then no pull list anymore. So no new comic books. It's sad.
You decide not to get one at the new place or just haven't?
Yeah, because I just, you know, I got off, you know, I got off track and it makes me sad. I missed my new comic book day. It's just in a very inconvenient place here and I hate driving over there. It's fucking hassle and I'm not going over there every week and I'm still hesitant about digital comics because I'm an idiot. And
you know, most comic shops, you can create a pull list and they'll ship.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And like a lot of the books that I was following, the writers and artists are off them.
Right.
Now, and like I'd love to finish Doomsday Clock. So I don't even know which book I'm on that. I haven't even read any of my Batman that I have. I haven't even read any of the wedding stuff. That was months ago.
This sounds really bad, but I've gotten to where I really just, space-wise, prefer, like, the trade. The trade.
Yeah.
But then it's been out for so many months and people have already talked about it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, too. And I don't like that, like, not knowing. Now that I know that I'm supposed to know about this stuff now. And I do still love it, and it sucks that, you know, I just got off of it. But I'm sure that's phases that most comic book enthusiasts go through.
You do. Yeah, I mean, from the time that I began reading all them many years ago that we won't say how long ago, you do. I mean, I went... years, clearly, without it. And then was like, I need this in my life again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Maybe I'll just get over myself and start the digital shit again.
I don't know. I understand the whole, it is, it's different.
It is different.
It's very different, but yeah.
One thing that I did read / listen to was the new Stephen King book, because y'all know I'm all about some Stephen King. But this one was very different. It's called Elevation. It just came out. And it has two stories in it. So
okay.
You usually in a book of Stephen King's short stories, you get more than two. But this was like two
right.
short stories. The first one... Okay, so Stephen King reads it, and so he narrates it. And it was a little off-putting at first because he doesn't really have a great reading voice.
He's got kind of a dry...
Yeah, it's kind of reedy sounding.
Yeah.
And not particularly pleasant, but there's something about... Because at first I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then the more he read... It just started to add something to it, or maybe I just got more into the story. But the first one is, none of them are horror, so it's different already. But they're both very odd. The first one particularly. So I won't, it was very touching. Like, I had a whole moment with this, with the ending of this book. Because the premise is this guy, Scott Carey, he is losing weight according to the scale. But if you look at him, it doesn't look like he's lost any weight. So he looks like a 240-pound man. But every time he gets on the scale, he's just losing weight faster and faster and faster. So it's very odd. Like, there's never any explanation for that.
Man, that would suck.
It's very weird.
I'd be so disappointed.
Yeah. But he goes to a doctor, but he has all this like real, like, he just accepts it. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't go to he doesn't try to go to specialists or like, he doesn't hardly tell anybody, but like three people. And he just lets it happen to him. And then,
well, I could see people looking at him like he was like, you psychologically, what's wrong with you, dude?
Right.
So, yeah, yeah. I get it.
He just lets it happen. So, and then he has these friendships that he starts with this lesbian couple in their town. And because they had a rocky beginning to their relationship, but then they get to be friends. And something about the way that the book or the story ends was really like crushingly beautiful to me. And I couldn't explain why. And I wonder if anybody else, kind of would have that same reaction because it was just a very odd story. And, it just hit me in this weird space that I didn't know was there. So, as much as I love horror and that's what I was expecting going into this, it just kind of just threw me off. So the second story is extremely different than the first one. And it's about a widower who gets his sister gives him a dog, because he just lost his wife. And he grudgingly starts to love the dog. And so it's just, and then some traumatic event happens. And then that's the end. So just very, not that Stephen King hasn't done stuff like this before, but it's been a minute since I've been in that space with him. So
what you're describing sounds way more like Dean Koontzy to me.
A little bit, but it's very Stephen King in that there's no reason. Like, he just tells you a story that you have a response to, and there's no, he doesn't have to explain why this guy is losing this weight. It doesn't matter, really. It's about the guy, you know, and I don't know.
I wonder if it's because one of my favorite books of of his ever storybook, regardless, people look at me really funny when I tell them this, but I wonder if it, does it, I don't know. Sorry. So it sounds to me like it hit you the way the A Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
I actually haven't read that.
Okay. It's very different. I read this when I was younger, when like Pet Cemetery was like, oh. And I remember not being bothered, like I wasn't scared, but there was something about it that was very raw and traumatizing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it's what keeps me reading Stephen King. It's not just horror and you know, weird shit. It's that somehow he gets this emotional reaction out of me. Like, you know, I've talked about Stephen King books here before, and there's always something about it. And I just think he's an absolute genius. I can't even explain it. So, you know, if you want something a little bit different, but extremely well-written, I mean, I would just be interested to hear anybody else, to hear if anybody else had the same kind of like reaction that I did.
I'm going to add that
to that first story. But don't worry about being scared. There's nothing scary about it.
Well, the one that I'm currently in the middle of, so I'll have to like update later kind of thing. It had a moment last night where I was like, checking around the room, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, "Oh, it's not scary. It's psychological." Mm-hmm. One of my favorite authors, who I've talked about before, fellow Kentuckian, Rose Pressey. She usually writes those fun camp. Not that she's not a good writer, but she usually writes like the fun, campy kind of. Cozy mysteries. I explained last time what a cozy mystery was. So she usually writes those, and I've talked about a few of them where you've like giggled because they are some of them not cheesy and like, I don't know, but there's like a certain level of cheese cozy factor that you like, you want from those books. But she decided I'm going to write a psychological thriller. Like, she loves horror. She loves mystery. And most of hers are the ones that are like the mystery. There's some that are just straight cozy mystery, and then she has the paranormal mystery. This time she wanted mystery thriller. Mm-hmm. And she's done a good job so far. Like, I'm reading this one on my Kindle, and I keep, like, getting, like, looking at the clock and realizing it's 1 a.m. Like, I did this last night. I was like, oh, it's 1 a.m. and tomorrow's my first day back to work and Caden's first day back to school. I need to put this down. But she is the character herself, and like, it's just, I may have like a small twinge of like, maybe I'm sort of in love with this book because of reasons that you'll see in just a second. But the main character's name is Miranda, and she's originally from this tiny town in Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And she moved away, I think, like, right after high school. I don't remember it saying, like, where she went to college, but she's a writer, and she's a true crime writer now, and she has, for the last year, so she's a true crime writer that witnessed her husband's murder, and a lot of people truly don't believe she didn't do it because you're a true crime writer. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So she's still reeling in the aftermath of her husband's murder. He wasn't a good husband either. So there's it starts with the give and take of she loved him. And that was a devastating, she witnessed it hiding in the closet.
Ooh.
In their house. Right. So, but this was a man that would like call her names and sometimes shove her and things like that. So she's having a hard time because she loved him and she's trying to figure that out. And so she has decided she needs to get away from New York. She can't stay in their apartment because she continues to walk past the room that, you know, like it happened in their living room,
yeah,
like things like that. So she decides she needs to get away. Her friends get it. Not really. Her agent doesn't understand it. She's like, well, just move to another apartment. And she decides that she's going to go back to this small little town in Kentucky because her next book is going to be about a murder that happened years ago. She wants to go home to write about this book, but she doesn't want anyone to know why she's there. And most of the people don't remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they do, they're not saying that they do. And pretty immediately, like while she's on the road traveling to Kentucky, which is the first part of the book, things start happening. So now she's moved into this home where like other murders have taken place. It wasn't disclosed to her. She's a creepy neighbor who is actually the daughter and the sister of the people that were murdered in the home she now lives in. She keeps getting harassing text messages on this random phone that was put into her purse. It's not her phone. It doesn't have self-service, but there's a number that keeps trying to call her and keeps texting her things.
Hmm.
I mean, at first she thinks, oh, I somehow got this person's phone. I need to find a way to return their phone. And she quickly realizes it was put in her purse on purpose.
Hmm.
And on top of all of that, so there's like really creepy thing. There's packages being left on her back door. Like she always feels like she's being watched. And then her dead husband's sister, who thoroughly blames her, she's been like trying to hide from her. Cause I guess at first it was like things were great. And I tried to talk to her, but she truly believes that it's Miranda's fault. So she now has her number, and she has tracked her to Kentucky, and she's pretty sure that she's following her, too. Pretty quickly, she discovers another dead girl's body just by happen chance, and the police blame her. The police may be corrupt. Like, there's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm sure we're going to get to the point that it all goes together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, she's very creeped out and she's jumpy, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me jumpy because it'll describe something and it'll be like, and then there was a big bang and then I've got a bat and I'm holding it and I'm shaking. Like she's just, as a character, she's talking about how she's got the bat and she's shaking. And then she comes home one night and there's rose petals and a rose on her bed. And she's like, but I know I locked the door. So does that mean somebody has, right? She's like, so does somebody have a key? Does that person still have a key? Are they still in here? So yeah, it's like, ooh, it just hits you. Yeah. It's pretty good. And I'm waiting for it to all start kind of, it's slowly congealing together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty pleased. There was some, I don't know if I got like a, I got like one of the very first, because it just came out like a couple of weeks ago, and I pre-ordered it on Amazon, and I think Amazon may have accidentally released like one of the last edits versions, if that makes sense. Because there's like a 5 instead of an S. And
Yeah,
it's not a ton, but and then the only thing I will complain about, and I think Rose would not take offense to this because she's another one of those authors that I've actually befriended.
Oh, nice.
So there were a couple of chapters where I was like, feels like this chapter should have, or these paragraphs should have gone back in this chapter, or like there was a few chapters where I was confused. I was like, why are we? Like, she goes from being at a weird, awkward ladies' luncheon that she was forced to go to, kind of, and immediately it's like, now I'm home and I'm overthinking. Like, there was no, like, go between, like, something was, there's a few times throughout the book where, while all this is happening and I really, really am enjoying the book, there was a few times I was like, that didn't make sense, and you should have put that back there, and
so it could do with some editing.
It could, but I'm also wondering if it's part of she's in her brain, she's unraveling. Like, on the outside, people don't know it, but right. she's like, she can't even focus to write. Like, her editor keeps calling her to check on her, because I guess she's genuinely, like, she's kind of her friend, too. Mm-hmm. She keeps calling her to check on her, and that's part of the thing that I had a problem with, is, like, she would say, my editor, and then all of a sudden, she's like, she says somebody's name, and I was like, who the fuck is that? And it was her editor. I'm like, oh, like, she never said her name before. And then there was another name last night when I was starting to fall asleep that I was like, who is that? So I think I've, and I may have missed, I probably missed that, because she keeps bumping into people in town that are like, they're all very like, why are you here? Who are you? Are you from Kentucky? Like, what are you doing here? Oh, we found out who you, like, and there are all these like snooty women, and they're coming to her one at a time.
Huh.
So I'm thinking somewhere I have obviously mixed one of those women, the name that I was like, who are you, up with another one that I thought actually okay. had in conversation with.
Okay.
So there are some parts that it was a little choppy, but I'm wondering, like I said, if it's because she is kind of losing her shit, mm-hmm. and because it is written from her perspective, like I said, she says, I went to the door, I did this. So I'm wondering if it's because it's from her perspective, it's supposed to have that chop to it, because that's how she's functioning right now.
Okay. So, well, that's cool. I hope it continues to creep you out.
Yeah, I think I kind of like being creeped out.
All right, so speaking of being creeped out, there yes. goes my segue to my
I love it.
And, you know, it's not a new podcast. It's just a specific episode of a podcast that I super love. It's called the No Sleep Podcast, which I've talked about before. They just had their season 11 finale. So it's season 11, episode 25, which you can get for free.
They're the ones that they have a paid and a free, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. You get, like, this episode has like three free stories. And then if you pay for the season pass, you'll get more. I've never paid. Well, I paid for a few individual episodes because there are some that are serialized and I want the whole story, and they'll kind of hook you with the free episode, and then you have to buy the other. But I did
so
that.
So it's almost like Patreoning somebody, and
yeah,
then you get extra
totally
episodes?
Yes, you do get okay. free, or, you know, not free, but you get free, or you get bonus content with the season pass. So what stood out to me about this story, it's called The Public Domain, and I really want you to listen to it because,
okay.
And I don't want to spoil the story, but I'll just say that, do you know what an urban explorer is?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So, like, these group of urban explorers is like, they go to like abandoned buildings and warehouses and hospitals, you know.
The crap we did when we were teenagers we weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they do that, and they're doing it to document the decay of their town. And so they go to this location, and all this weird shit starts happening, and it's an old library. So all the weird shit takes the form of different literary characters, and one of them is one of your favorites. So
which one? Alice?
Yeah, Alice. So it's a really, like, it's gory and a creepy story, but it's only like not even an hour long, I don't think.
Okay.
But it's a good listen. I really love it when they...
It's one I've always wanted to start, and I don't know why I never did.
You can really cherry pick with those stories. I mean, I always listen to all the stories because I just like to, but, you know, they're not all fantastic, but for the most part, they're pretty great. And the voice acting's great. The production's great. But that one in particular, I was like, ooh, Miranda needs to listen to this one.
You know, I like all versions of Alice.
Mm-hmm. So it's real creepy. So check out No Sleep, season 11, episode 25. The story is called The Public Domain. Or just listen to the whole episode because it's pretty good.
I'm for sure checking that one out.
Do you have any downloads?
Do I? I don't think I do. I The only thing I think I've been listening to, Caden has gotten back into Brains On, so we've been listening to that in the car.
Nice.
Because I got this fancy schmancy new radio I'm pretty happy and excited about. I got a touch screen.
Yeah, on. I know what you mean.
To my phone radio with the Sirius and everything.
I feel you.
That was my anniversary present from Jerry.
Oh, nice.
It was nice. And he and I have, it's not a new podcast, but I don't know if I've ever talked about it before. It's a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, Dragon Talk. It's actually the official Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
Oh yeah. And I think we have talked about it before.
Yeah. Cause there was one of the Sprouse boys was on there. He's a big D&D-er. But he, there's nothing in the show that is broke. I mean, they crack some jokes sometimes, but nothing that's highly inappropriate for kids. So I was listening to it one day when I picked him up from school, and he realized what it was and got really excited. So we've been listening to that one in the car, too. If you're a fan of D&D, I would definitely recommend it. It's produced well, obviously. I mean, it's from the people at D&D. They talk about the new things coming out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They interview somebody different most of the time. They interviewed a guy the other day. I forget how long. It was like a crazy amount of years. Like, I was highly impressed. He's had long-standing game for like 20-something years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and now his daughter's part of his game. She's been part of his game since she was 7, and I want to say she's almost 18.
Wow.
That's so awesome. And he was going in before then. Yeah, so it's pretty cool to listen to. No specific episode, just it's another one of those where you can kind of give or take. There's a lot of episodes on that specific show. I don't even remember how many.
All right, cool. All right, so let's take a little break, shall we? And then when we come back, we will talk to you about this TV show that we want to really get in depth on and break it down for you.
Maybe creep you out some more.
So stick around and we will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
PlaySuite Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySuite.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the PlaySuite Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling Warzone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB in Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaySuite.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySuite.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySuite.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Sassy, Jennifer and Miranda here, and we're going to talk to you about a little show that you may have heard about. It is called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Is that correct?
That's correct. All right.
It is available on Netflix, of course.
Yes.
And, all right. So it's comic book based, correct?
Correctamundo.
Have you read any Sabrina comic books?
You know I have.
Tell me about Sabrina comic books.
I read the entire Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comic book line.
Oh, nice.
And then when I was younger, Sabrina had kind of like when the Sabrina show with Melissa Joan Hart was big. Mm-hmm. There was a Sabrina comic. And then even before that, because Sabrina is part Archie Comics.
Right.
So even before that, Sabrina was not something I would grab on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are familiar with the original Sabrina, the Archie Sabrina, that is not what this show is.
No, it's not. And it's not the Melissa Joan Hart version either.
It is not the Melissa Joan Hart version either.
Surely not.
And I tried to tell multiple people, like I'm not going to be mean and name names because I could, but there are people that you and I know that I tried to tell them. I have talked about this on this show about how excited I was about it and that it was not. For people that didn't like Riverdale, it's dark in the sense that Riverdale went dark, but it is in the sense of Riverdale is different than what you know Archie to be. This is way different than what you know Sabrina to be.
Way different.
Way different. So when people were like, oh my God, and complaining, it was one of those, and I told you so.
Yeah.
I did. So, it's very true to the, it is very true to the Chilling Sabrina comic that was put out.
Is
so
it?
I will say that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He plays very closely in that way.
That's good. Because I meant to ask you that and I forgot. But that's cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it plays closely too. There are some things that are a little bit, they're different, obviously. But we'll go ahead and say it. It's very witchy, satanic witchy.
Yeah, and, you know, I knew it was going to be dark, and honestly, I went into it just wanting to check it out, not really expecting much, and then I just got sucked in. I really did.
What?
And the Satan stuff was very off-putting at first, and I say that without judgment or anything. I'm just like, because the way that they're just so casual with their Satanism.
But that's how, I guess I wasn't, and everybody's like, I can't believe you weren't off put by it. But in my mind, I wasn't, because if you were highly religious in the other thing,
right,
kind of like we were talking about with God Friended Me, you would be very casual about it. It would be everyday conversation for you,
yes,
to be like, you know, glory be to God, praise him, you know.
Yes.
Like, it would be your normal everyday wording and discussion, and that's how you would say things. So, to me, it wasn't off-putting in the sense of, like the way I grew up, like, it made me, mm-hmm, for a second kind of be like, ooh, this, mm-hmm, is different. But it wasn't off-putting because I was looking at it from the perspective of, it would be no different than someone that is highly devout Christian.
Yeah.
Just talking that way normally.
That's, to me, the number one most interesting thing about this show is just how they make it seem so commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And they play with a lot of that, like you said, like just casual references and like, somehow it just works, you know, and I, my husband went to like school to be a preacher for a while, and like,
right,
and after the first, because I think that he fell asleep during the first, like the end of the first couple of episodes,
okay,
when it started like really ramping up the Satan stuff, And the next day I was like, I don't know if you're going to like this show. Like, I felt like he might get offended at the show. But he watched every damn episode.
My mother actually did. She got to, like, episode 2 and said, I can't do this. This is so sacrilegious.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, I told, like, I wasn't trying to be mean, but I was like, Mom, I told you that it would be. She's like, this is not Sabrina. And I was like, actually, if you picked up the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comic, this is Sabrina. Like, this is who she is. But I think it also, without, like, going too far into the season, it also is a very big play on Joju, the battle of good and evil, so to speak.
Right, because they're not bad people. They're
right.
I mean, they have
That's the
some
thing.
Bad
it's
in them,
weird.
But we
they're
all
not.
Do.
Right.
But she, you know, the other aspect of this to me that I thought was extremely interesting was Sabrina as a character. Like in a lot of these teenage dramas, you get especially females who are just kind of unsure of themselves a lot of time. They have a lot of
right.
doubt. They have she has a very different quality to her where she doesn't take any shit.
Right.
Like, if she wants to know something, she figures it out. She asks questions. She doesn't take things at face value. She digs deeper. She doesn't blindly go into situations. Like, she is a very self-assured character.
Yeah.
And the actress that plays Sabrina, I know her from Mad Men. I love her in Mad Men. And I think she's perfectly cast as Sabrina.
I agree.
She has some sort of, like, she has an old soul sort of quality to
she
her.
She does. Which the show is kind of the same way. It mm-hmm. has that weird, it's aesthetically pleasing where mm-hmm. it makes you think it's a Gotham does this, Riverdale has a tendency to do this, where you're unsure of the time period that's taking place. But then you can physically see it's current day because the one character when his cell phone's ringing, it's, mm-hmm. he's got an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, there are things like that, but, like the nurse, this is further in, but like the nurses, their garb, the clothes that Sabrina wears, mm-hmm. the clothes that other character wears, it's very like it's in another time.
Right.
It's in a different place.
The sets are all really pretty. The locations, like the house that they live in, the school that she kind of goes to. And even the costumes, I think, are right mm-hmm. on point. Every character has a really defined look. It all just, it's very eclectic, and it, I don't know, it just
works.
It does. It's beauty to watch. And let me just tell you, if you don't know who Michelle Gomez is, you need to know who Michelle Gomez is, because holy shit, she's amazing.
Michelle Gomez is amazing.
You know, I loved her as Missy on Doctor Who. I loved her.
I was in love with her. I liked her, but I didn't like, I don't know, the overall of that.
Right.
We've talked about that.
Right.
But her general as an actress, she has an amazing talent, and I loved her in this show. So much.
She was so perfect. Every scene, she had the most amazing hair I've ever seen. I mean, it was just perfectly, like, blown out, you know? And, like...
Like, always?
Just, like, fluffy and gorgeous and beautiful. And she has such an interesting face to me. Like, she's not classically beautiful, but she has something. She has this quality to where you cannot look away from her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because sometimes I think she'll just be like stunningly pretty, and then sometimes, like, you know, she's too angular. Like, something's a little off. I don't know. It's fascinating to me. I'm obsessed with her. And then she just does these subtle things with with her eyes and with her voice and with her body language. She just totally just embodies this character. You don't know if she's good or bad. You don't know if you can trust her. Just fantastic. If you don't watch it for anything, if you can just like plug your ears during the Satan parts, which is a lot, just watch the Michelle Gomez stuff.
If that's something that you might be bothered by, and you can go into it thinking it's just the opposite end of the spectrum, and it is just a TV show, then you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you do have to. Yeah, you do have to let go of that. I mean, some people won't be able to, and I understand that.
No, and I guess that's where it kind of goes with, like, not everything is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's a lot of, like, woohoo, hell, Satan. It's not typically for me, but I really liked this show. Like, I really, really liked it.
So the basic story is that whenever she turns, is it 16?
There are parts of it that are like basic Sabrina.
Right.
You know, like when she turned 16, getting her powers and it being a big struggle, living with her aunts. In the Melissa Joan Hart one, it's not that her parents were alive. It's that she couldn't be around them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Remember, it was something weird about she couldn't be near them. Because of something to do with coming into her powers, like she couldn't be near them. Like it was part of like becoming whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they couldn't be near her. So it's a little bit different in that sense. But it's the same in the sense that she comes into her powers when she's 16. She lives with her aunts who have raised her. There are a lot of things that are the same because it's the basis of who the character is. She still has a boyfriend named Harvey.
Right. What do we think about this Harvey? I thought he was adorable.
I think he reminds me a lot of, if you're the old Harvey from the Melissa number, in the sense that, like, he's kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm, a little bit. Very sincere.
He's very sincere. They don't make him a jock in this one, though.
No, I kind of like that.
I kind of like that too. He's actually a really good artist.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped some comic book artist names. If you caught that in one of the episodes,
I think I did.
When he's talking to Ambrose, her cousin Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Which Ambrose is in the comic. In the old Melissa Joan Hart, he popped up every now and then, but it was always a female cousin she had problems with, I think.
I was very interested in his character.
I loved his character.
Because he was, we'll see, what was it? He had some sort of crime that he was.
So it's kind of like, if you remember Salem in Melissa Joan Hart, he had committed a crime and that's why he was the black cat. And he had to stay, like, in their home or with them. So this time it's the cousin Ambrose, and he committed a warlock crime, and instead of, like, you know, burning him at the stake or excommunicating him from the church or whatever, they decided they would lock him in the Spellman home. He can't leave the Spellman property.
And it's been, what, like 100 years?
Yeah, because they age, once they become a witch, they age progressively slower, way slower. They do die. There is an end, but it's, like, way slow. Because Hilda makes comments a few times. You know, the last time I was this drunk was at Queen whatever.
Yeah.
Queen Coronation. And, you know, so, I mean, she makes comments to just how old she really is. But it's that she just slowly, like, while everyone else is getting old, she's not, essentially. Mm-hmm.
But I liked his character quite a bit. He was very much as much as her aunts have their own very strong personalities, you know, he was another voice for her, I think. Another, source of advice and some wisdom that she needs a lot of times, I think.
Well, and in all honesty, they're supposed to be not very far apart in age. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that he's a couple hundred years older than her. He's supposed to be still fairly young.
Younger, yeah. What did you think about the casting here with the aunts, with the Hilda and Zelda?
Zelda, yeah. Hilda was my favorite.
Really? Me too.
I loved her. Zelda, she's an odd bird.
Yeah.
She took some more. At first I did dislike her. I did not like her at first. Mm-hmm. I was like, woo. Mm-hmm. Fine then. But in staying true to the old Hilda and Zelda, Hilda was, they would always, she would always joke and be like, because I'm the cool aunt. So Hilda was supposed to be younger and way more interested in Sabrina, trying to figure out things on her own. And Zelda was very studious and just no. Like, very kind of like
that's disciplinarian.
Well, like, you are not the adult. You are not the adult. You are the teenager. Mm-hmm. And Hilda was more like, I think you should do it. Mm-hmm. Which you kind of see here, just in a different manner, so to speak. Zelda wants her to have nothing to do with the mortal world. Hilda's like, oh, what could be the harm? And
she was very, like, you know, Zelda was very controlling of Hilda in particular. Yes. I think they shared a bedroom, which I thought was extremely odd.
And they never explained that, because that is a really fucking big house.
It's a big house, and they're very
old.
Which
is also a mortuary. So, I mean, there is that to take into consideration, that there, the whole basement is like where they embalm people and keep caskets and stuff. And then there's obviously the viewing room. And so there's rooms that are going to be like not used by the family because it's for the business.
But then she ends up moving out of their room eventually. So they had a room.
Right.
It's just, you know, I just thought it was,
I wonder if it's something that started when they were young and they just found companionship. So it was like, well, not like we sleep in the same bed. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
But I thought that too in one of their arguments they're having when they're getting ready to go to bed. And I'm like, why is she like, oh, because they're both asleep. Oh, okay.
I thought Lucy Davis, I think it also as Hilda, was.
Dynamic. Oh, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it also plays in the dynamic. Like you said, she's controlling of her at the very beginning.
Yeah. She doesn't want her to have her own anything, really.
Mm-mm.
She's just supposed to do what she's told. Like
she mentions getting a job, and or Hilda mentions, you know, maybe I want to work. And she's like, but you do here. What is this that we have? What is this business? Like, she's like, well, people aren't dead all the time, you know, like kind of making light of it. And Zelda's like, nah.
I thought Lucy Davis as Hilda was so good.
I love her.
She's so perfect. Because she, as you know, light as she is compared to Zelda, she does have this solidness to her, you know?
Right.
And she shows some extreme grit, you know, in several tense situations. So she's not a lightweight. And she's not just some, you know, stupid witch.
It's almost like they treat her like she's the stupid witch, but she's actually very smart.
She is very smart.
Like, you often see her in the background, not in the background, but like while things are going on and there's like rows of cans, and she's a very good hedge witch as well, because she creates tonics and jams and gel that are like they have purpose. Like, if you use this or if you eat this, this will help. And she's very knowledgeable. Like, she'll go, oh, just soak in this kind of bath and blah, blah, blah. And in 3 weeks, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very knowledgeable.
She just seems to just have this warmth and this solid core to her.
Like, if I had a witch aunt, I would want her. Like,
definitely.
I'd be cool with that.
Who else stand out to you in this story? Let's see. So basically, like, well, I don't want to know how much do we want to give away as far as story and plot?
I don't know. Do we want to be like, don't listen to this if you don't want to be spoiled, or we don't, or do we want, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we are coming to talk about how we feel about it. So.
Yeah.
I liked the thing in the beginning where they were like Monday, Tuesday, because mm-hmm. like the first couple episodes were real heavy and leading up to it actually being her 16th birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess what we didn't say that won't give anything away, because while we're deciding if we're going to do that or not, the premise, like usual, is that on her 16th birthday she gets powers, except for in this one, or she comes into her powers. It's not that she can't already do things. She is already a witch, but she comes into her powers. In this one, though, she has to decide if she's going to have her baptism, which is similar to a Christian baptism, other than that she dipped in blood and she has to give her life to the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, that is Satan.
Yeah,
she has to write her name in the book, which is what you do when you're in your blood. And she's very smart, like you were saying, in the sense that she has questions about this.
Yes.
Which I think was really cool, because also as growing up, you know, Christian, looking at it from the other viewpoint, you also have questions. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this makes sense. But she has a lot of questions, and she's like, wait. And they're questions that even, like, if you really wanted to get down into it, they're almost the same questions that a Christian teenager would ask.
Exactly.
Do I have free will? What does this mean? Am I signing my life away? Am I still me? You know, all of these questions that she has, like, what does this mean exactly? When I die, what will happen? Mm-hmm. And they're all valid questions.
And just so interesting the way that they handle all that too. And how she thinks about it, you know, she considers it. She tries to figure out if somebody's trying to manipulate her, which they are.
They are.
Yeah, that that scene towards I think it's the end of the first or second episode where she goes, you know, whether she's deciding whether she's going to do that or not. It's just so.
And when she walks in and she's like, I've made a decision, and the high priest is there.
Yeah.
It's like the very end of the, like, she walks in and she, at the end of episode one, she walks in and she's like, I've made my decision. Because every time they say, are you going to do this? Zelda's just like, yes, you are. Yes, right. You are.
Yeah,
you
know, it's not a question to her.
You're going
to
do, it's not a question. Like, this is not up for debate. You know, you're doing it. And so they kind of ask the high priest, which I guess would be like the Pope, maybe? Maybe?
Or maybe like a bishop.
Yeah, like a bishop. Mm. And her father was the high priest before this guy. Apparently, her dad actually learned from this guy, but surpassed him.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of starts making sense once you learn that, some of the things that take place. You're like, mm-hmm. Okay. But he comes to talk to her. He skeeved me out from the beginning.
For real. Me too.
And not because he was like, hell, Satan, just because he's
creepy.
Yeah. Like, weird guy staring at a van with no windows, creepy. That kind of creepy.
Father Blackwood.
Fingernails.
Yeah.
Ugh. But, she just is very, she's very suspicious of him, mm-hmm. you know, and his, because he does, he tells her, I don't know, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to spoil this or not.
The fish yeah, I keep about. Deciding
like,
to.
I think we kind of, I think honestly we should at this point.
You think so?
I think so, because there's no other way to break down these episodes.
I don't know. Let's just keep it general.
Okay, we'll keep it general.
Yeah.
She has reason to suspect that maybe the things that she's being told aren't truthful. That's when she has all the questions, you know, and she asks him, and he answers them. She's satisfied with the answers, but not really. She's satisfied that someone gave her answers, that someone is answering her, because often when she tries to ask Zelda these questions, she's like, like we said, you're doing it. There's no debate. No debate. So I liked that he genuinely answered her questions. maybe not genuinely, but he answered her question.
Right. He appeared to.
The Weird Sisters.
Yes.
And all through this, because this is part one, mm-hmm. there's actually going to be a Christmas.
Yeah, special. That's so weird.
And then a part two. Well, kind of makes sense. Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to do Krampus. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool. It fits with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But the Weird Sisters, there's homages to all kinds of things in horror.
Yes.
All throughout this season.
I'm so glad you said that because...
So many. Like, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
There's, like, Rosemary... Baby.
The Craft.
The Craft.
I felt like it was in there.
I'm pretty sure it was Macbeth.
Yes.
Thriller. Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah. Even, I got a Harry Potter vibe sometimes, too.
Well, I think that's because the whole, like, you're going to go to the school and you're going to learn how to be a witch.
Yeah, it could be.
Which, that doesn't give anything away.
It seems like there was something else campy about it, like Scream Queens about it.
Well, there are classic horror films. Mm-hmm. They watch them a few times. Mm-hmm. They mention them a few times. There's Halloween was mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember who else. I had started making a list. There's other things too, like mentioning the Putnam family.
They reference Riverdale at one point. Which,
they do. Yeah. Because it is still in this universe, and they're the town over.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary's Baby is mentioned multiple times. One time it's mentioned, kind of, sort of. She says the doctor from Rosemary's Baby is mentioned. Mm-hmm. But then the outfit that Sabrina wears at one point... It's very close to the one from the red with the collar.
Gotcha.
When she's with the Weird Sisters.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Rosemary's Baby. There's Hellraiser. Yeah, there's like all kinds of stuff in this.
You know,
of course, obviously Archie's.
Archie. Yeah.
She has a thermos that has Archie's on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just really cool. There's a lot of stuff. You can, and I think I found an, because I was looking into it, and I was like, wait, that's there. Like, I would notice things, but there's a website somewhere, because I was Googling, like, horror references, when I started seeing a repeat, mm-hmm. and there's somebody that broke it down by episode, all the different horror or just other thing. My brain is going to, not just horror films, but like, they mentioned the comic book artist. They mentioned Macbeth because the, I did write that down. The spell that she uses when she is summoning the Weird Sisters, thrice to thine and thrice to mine and thrice again to make up nine, peace, this charm's wound up. That's for Macbeth.
Sweet.
So,
that's neat. I'm so glad they did
which
that.
Which also refers to the Weird Sisters in Macbeth. Yeah, there's a lot in there. It's really interesting if you're into kind of the different Easter eggs.
I thought that the... there's, you know, not to get too detailed, but the episode where they have to eat someone... As part
oh my
of
God.
Their ritual, I thought that was particularly fun. Honestly, I thought it was great. Because you're just so... the person that's supposed to be eaten, like, literally feasted upon,
right.
takes it as such a great honor that they're just
like... Well, I mean,
like,
I don't think that would give anything away. Apparently, there's a feast that's supposed to take place
mm-hmm.
instead of Thanksgiving, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They don't celebrate Thanksgiving, which part of me was like, well, wait, they're American. But whatever, okay. So as witches, they choose to do the witch feast, and at some point throughout time, there was, you had to, every year a different girl would be chosen as sacrifice to be mm-hmm. queen, to be eaten to honor the Dark Lord.
Right. I just thought that whole episode was like campy and fun, and then by the end, like legit drama, and there's like some baby daddy drama mixed in there. I just thought it was a really fun episode. Probably my favorite, actually.
I don't know if that one was my favorite. I don't know.
Oh, they deal with zombies a little bit in this, too.
They do?
Yep. There's undead guy. What other magical creatures did we see? Or witchy creatures?
Well, that golem thing.
Yeah,
that
the golem.
She's going after the apple. Their voodoo dolls were used.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they make jokes about what are you, a vampire? And then there's the guy that dresses up like he's in the coffee shop that Hilda ends up getting. Or it's not a coffee shop. So that's the very weird thing about that place Hilda gets a job at. And they crack jokes at it throughout the whole, like all of the episodes. But Hilda, like we were telling you, she gets into an argument with Zelda about getting a job. Like, this won't ruin anything because there's so much that goes with all of these different things. But Hilda obviously ends up getting the job, and that's, like, her first step at, like, being like, I am my own person. It's a it's a bookstore that specializes in making the weird comfortable. Isn't that what he says?
Something like that, yeah.
Making those that like the weird comfortable. And he dresses up because I guess he used to be a horror movie host. You know, like on Saturday nights, I know locally, I don't know about for you guys down here, but local on the channel, one of the channels back home, it would have been like an ABC, I don't remember. Anyway, at a certain time of night, they had the Elvira impersonator.
Right.
That she would introduce the show of the evening, and throughout the breaks sometimes she'd be like, oh, and you're back with me, and like she would do the Elvira thing, which actually it may have been Elvira.
Yeah,
anyway,
so.
But that, and other people in other places had different hosts, so I guess he did that. He's like, I guess there's, so now he has this bookstore, and so it's not, I don't want to say a cult bookstore, but it's like all things weird. And he dresses up as a vampire. So there's jokes about being a vampire in reference to him, in reference to other people. So it's like a bookstore slash food place slash coffee shop slash
hangout spot.
Right. It's very interesting.
Yes.
And they hang out there often, which is parts that get brought up too.
Yep. All right.
Oh, I know which episode was my favorite. The dream one.
Oh, the dream one was good. But what was that creature? That was,
She's a demon named Batty Bat.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a dream demon, which actually, if you remember, that also happens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, it does.
So, that's another one that kind of lends.
Yeah, I really liked the mismatch of different, you know, just homages and just, it was just well done, really, honestly. What else we got? Anything else to say about Sabrina?
I hate, there are several parts throughout there where I hate Harvey Kinkle's dad.
He's a jerk.
I had a huge hate relationship with him. Oh.
But it gives some depth to Harvey, I think.
It does, because I think the old Harvey just was always like a good stand-up guy who came from a great home and had great parents and, you know, that kind of thing. I honestly do like how this kind of focuses around it. It very much is mortal against witch here. And good versus evil and right versus wrong. Because like you said, they're not bad.
Right.
But there are some of the witches that are, and they want to do what Sabrina sees as wrong. Like, it's just, like, why wouldn't you help them? I don't care that they're immortal. It's wrong. So, yes, there's a lot of the whole, like, satanic, obviously, rituals and care about and just, there are some moments that even I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a little creeped out when you, the song that they're, the choir is singing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No. What is it?
That's the song Charles Manson wrote.
Oh.
Yeah.
Looking creepy, man. That's a deep
cut. Because at first I was like, somebody was like, oh, that's a Manson song. And I was like, that's not a Manson song. And they were like, wrong Manson. I was like, oh, that one. Shit. And you hear it, and it's beautiful. Like, no, like, I know it sounds really cheesy, but, like, when you're listening to them, it sounds like a beautiful song. And then when you realize where it's from, you're like, I'm a little creeped out.
Oh, something else that I liked was, you know, when she was trying to make her decision about what she was going to do, like, you know, her and Harvey's relationship was already, like, established by the time the first episode. So they're already boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to decide whether she's going to give up that mortal life. You know, she doesn't want to give up her boyfriend or her best friends at school. She doesn't, you know, as much as she does, I think, like being a witch, she realizes that the trade-offs might not be enough. But I really like the way they handled that.
Yeah, it's done very sweetly, because I think a lot of time, Riverdale, it's just a lot of, like, all the time, like, I'm a young teen, I'm supposed to be really horny, and I'm supposed to, like...
Yeah, it's and pretty wholesome.
There are moments of that, but I think it's to show you the difference in who she is.
Right.
And who other witches, the Weird Sisters, mm-hmm. We'll use them because, you know, it is them, but it's to show you the difference in Sabrina and who she is as an overall person. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, their one whole, like, join us, Sabrina, and Nick's like, or I could go to your room with you. And
oh, my God,
like,
yes.
She rolls her eyes, and she just leaves.
Yeah. I like that scene.
It shows you who she is.
But even though, even with, like, one of those sisters, you know, she sort of forms a bond with them, and they're not, you know, all the way bad. Or, you know, there's something redeemable in at least one of them.
One at least.
Allegedly. We'll see. So is the next season going to be season two, or is it season one part two?
I think it's part two, okay. Which there was only 9 episodes.
Was it 9?
And they've done, yeah, it was not 10, excuse 10. Me, 10. Because okay. 9 and 10 are part one, part two.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So there's 10 episodes, an hour long a piece. By the way, the opening is pictures and different clips from the comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which, did you read Afterlife with Archie, which came out about the same time?
No, but I heard that was really good.
It was really good, and they it's heavy in the zombie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it makes me kind of wonder if they will bleed over, possibly. But yeah, it's clips. I liked the opening. It was really cool.
It was. It looks like, the Christmas special called A Midwinter's Tale will come out, just in a couple of weeks, December 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be cool. Yeah, I'm definitely watching that.
And I'm not sure, is there anything out about it?
No, I don't see any plot points or anything.
Well, I wonder if they sent out plot points, if that would give away. Because, you know, they have to, obviously, unless it's somehow set, I don't know. It would almost, because of the timeline, because, like I said, the one episode is, it's supposed to be our Thanksgiving, but they have their witch holiday instead. Mm-hmm. So if you followed that, then they probably can't say anything, because it would say what happened, you know, allegedly, possibly.
Allegedly, possibly.
That's going to be my new thing. Allegedly, possibly.
What else do we have? Is that it? overall, like rating or grade or recommendation?
I would say if you are easily bothered or offended by things of the occult,
it's not for you.
Or of the satanic. I completely understand where people would be like, that's very, like my mother being like, that's very sacrilegious. Well, yes, it is, mother. They worship the devil.
But if you look at it from their point of view, it's very religious, you know, not
it is kind of like you said, how you, at first you were bothered about how kind of blasé they were about. I read some reviews, like just I found randomly on the internet, like this person saying this is what I thought about it. And one bothered me because we're such big fans of pretty much everything CW.
Hmm.
So there was one, for the most part,
between the two of us.
Right. The majority of our shows come from the CW, right? So I read a review where someone, and I just want to see, because this doesn't give anything away, but this person gave it a much lower score and said, wait, where did it go? That's not the one. I lost it. Basically, he was saying, he, she, they, I don't know. Maybe I should not. I'll say them.
Them. They.
Them. A lot of people gave it one star saying, this is not the remake of the sitcom.
Well, no shit.
No shit, Sherlock.
They have different titles, so.
Right, we tried to say that. But this guy, I think I just found it. Here it is. He titles this disappointing. He says, I came into this to the understanding. I keep saying he because I just feel like down with a man. Sorry, them. Them says, I came into this with the understanding that it was not supposed to be like the Sabrina sitcom, but I was still excited. How could a dark talent Sabrina go so wrong? And we get the fabulous Michelle Gomez. I was in awe. Unfortunately, it went downhill. And it went downhill fast. One, the constant camera blur is really annoying. Side note, I didn't see that. Two, the story is overall boring and takes you all over the place. Three, the politics are unnecessary and her cliche millennial friends are nauseating. Four, they ruined Salem, and honestly, it belongs in the CW's trash heap of a lineup. Mm. You, sir, I'm calling you a sir. Madam and or sirs are wrong.
Well, he's entitled.
We're not complaining at all about the satanic, for it being dark.
Right.
They were like, oh, on that. I truly don't remember constant camera blurs anywhere. I remember there's parts that are faded out because you're supposed to see her more prominently or you're supposed to see the background more prominently. Politics are very necessary in this. It's her being down with a man.
Yeah, there's like a bullying subplot sort of thing with one of her friends that I don't think was... It wasn't really heavy-handed. It was felt fairly, commonplace.
Right, and it was part of her coil to the mortal world.
Right, yeah.
It was why she wanted that mortal half of her.
Right.
It was, you needed that as part of the storyline. And, you know, I'm the first one that, if it were cliche millennial, would have said something, and I did not feel that it was.
I felt,
once again, her friend's problems are valid problems.
Right.
Very valid issues.
And, you know, the friend, she wasn't all like, I'm being bullied, somebody help me, you know, whatever they think a millennial, you know.
Right. She wouldn't even tell. She
wouldn't
stand up for herself and even tell the names of the people that were doing this when Sabrina was like, tell me who it is.
Yeah, she was trying to.
No, I can't do it. I can't. I won't. And then the other friend, she's battling with her faith in the godly sense.
Right.
Because she's medically got some things going on. And that line that her dad said, that hit me. Where she asks, because her grandmother has the same illness.
Mm-hmm.
And without saying it, but do you remember when she sits to talk to her dad and she's like, you said that this is wrong with grandma because she lacks faith. She doesn't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that stung heavy because I grew up in a very Christian world where I was told often, and my mom was told that, because I've had medical problems since I was born. I was born with muscles that weren't developed in the top of my stomach, and so my food didn't go up and it didn't go down. And we had people in our community that told my mom it was because she had done something wrong, or because I, as a child, didn't have the faith in God that I needed to have. So that was like,
ooh, wow.
Ooh. Oh, that was real. So I think her problems don't have anything to do with being millennials. They are legitimate issues.
Right.
You live in a house with a family of full, complete faith in God, and there's something medically wrong with you, and you've heard your family say, well, that happened to the other one because she didn't have faith. And then the other one, she's living with a single dad who lives on a farm, which that's a struggle in itself that I get, that is struggling with her identity.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very... when you're a teenager, you're always struggling with your identity.
For real.
So those, the reason that was the only review I wanted to read, because I felt like this person, I guess everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but for once it wasn't reviews that we've mentioned earlier where people were saying it's very satanic, it's very dark, it's very sacrilegious. This is somebody just nitpicking and honestly, they really didn't want to like it,
yeah,
but couldn't say that had anything to do with it being dark.
Well, do you have any criticism? I mean, is there something that didn't work for you?
Not entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess the satanic part could have been toned down a little, but then if you did that, what kind of storyline would you have?
Right.
What didn't work for me, I guess it plays into the story, but the because it's common in our religions, there are those crazy people. Zelda punishing herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Physically punishing herself, mm-hmm, which is a thing. It's even talked about in the Dan Brown books, mm-hmm, if you remember.
Yep.
I don't know. That didn't work for me because I just don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't understand hurting yourself because you think you've wronged your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. So that, I guess, if that's all that doesn't work for me.
I think, you know, one of the friends that... Because there's a lot of that we haven't mentioned that, I mean, it's a very, intricate story, kind of,
yes,
because her friends, their families are tied into it. Like, one of her friends sees the ghost of one of her relatives, mm-hmm, and then that comes into play later. So...
And the other one has visions.
The other one has visions. So that's what I thought, okay, you know, not all of these people can be, special like Sabrina's special. You know, so that was the only thing that was But it wasn't really that big of a deal because they tied it together at the end.
Right.
But
I think that was more of when they started getting into the background, it was everybody played a part, going all the way back to, Pilgrims and Indians. Mm-hmm. I think it was trying to show, each family and their line and how they're still similar in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. But it also kind of takes the stakes away from Sabrina. If she knew that her friends had these abilities, then does that make it easier to let go of the mortal world. You know, I don't know.
Is right.
There, I don't know if there's something there or not. But she eventually, you know, tells them about her. So that's good. I'm glad they didn't try to keep it a secret the whole
time. Or do the whole thing where she tried and then was like, never mind, I take it back.
Right. Yeah, she,
Which we'll see what that is about.
Oh, gosh. But I would recommend it. And, you know, like you said, if it turns you off, it'll be fairly quickly. So you won't waste a whole lot of time trying to get into
right.
it. There'll be several, like, images and, like, words that are pretty quick and you'll be like,
right.
Nope, I'm out. If it's going to bother you, it'll bother you quick. So
it
just
will.
Try it.
You'll know within the first,
probably the first episode.
Well, no, the first episode is fairly calm and tame. And Zelda at one point is just sitting on the front porch and is like, hell, Satan.
Yeah.
It may go ahead and turn some people off in the first episode, but I think the second, because that's where my mom was like, nope.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're really check out if it's not for you.
Right. I agree.
Overall, though, Tomato Meter from Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 90.
That's pretty good.
Audience score of 80.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I say, okay, so Geekin, how many thumbs, Jenny? How many Geekin
thumbs? Thumbs, huh?
Well, I mean, we started again? This, so it's got to, I give it 2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs up for me as well.
So that's a total of 4.
Oh my God! Is this Sesame Street now?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about 1, 2, 3. I count 4. Oh, I know what bothered me for a hot minute.
Oh, what's that?
Why are Ambrose? Okay, Ambrose, I get he's a cousin, but why is Hilda, who is truly Zelda's sister, like they are blood related sister?
Mm-hmm.
Why is she the only one British?
Oh, yeah, the accent.
Which she talks about being from England a lot. So, and I remember in the old Sabrina story, I remember there's like a couple of hundred years gap where Zelda goes one way and Hilda goes another because they get pissed at each other every time. So I'm wondering if Zelda was like, I'm going to stay in bloody England. Hilda. And Zelda was like, well, I ain't. Mm. So she lost her, you know how like when people move, they lose their accent. Mm-hmm. Or like if you're born there, so I think I've said this before. I asked Jerry once if we had taken one of the job offers that were giving to us and we had had Caden in another country, would Caden have their dialect? And he would,
even though
we're American and we don't have that dialect. He would speak with a British accent or he would have the American Gaelic that the Irish do.
Right.
So then I'm also wondering like, maybe that, cause she is several years younger than, Zelda. I'm wondering if it's just the makeup of her upbringing, like where she was, like where they lived when Zelda was developing her speech patterns.
Yeah. If they,
right. It's really weird. Like why is one sister British and the other one's not?
Right. Yeah. If they explained it, I missed it, honestly.
Okay. Well, if you missed
it. As far as I know, they don't address it.
Like, it makes sense when you have a cousin that speaks. I mean, I do. I have cousins that speak full Gaelic, and I'm like, yeah, go on with your bad self.
I do think that Hilda spoke a lot of different languages, so I don't know if that has anything
to do. They both did originally, like, in the old.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things that are crossing over.
Right.
If you overall love, if you love, okay, let me here's how I would give my final consensus. If you like the dark and macabre, I would say this is for you. If you were also a fan of the previous iterations of Sabrina and you're cool with dark, this is for you.
Yeah.
If you can't do things that are considered sacrilegious or overly dark in, like, truly the sense of the word dark, when light in the fight of good and evil, then this is not for you.
Right. Agreed.
I'm going to call it bewitchingly beautiful.
Let me write that down.
Why are you?
I'm going to need that for the write-up.
I'm going to need that, she says.
Bewitchingly beautiful.
It is. I mean, if you think about it, it's... Because as we mentioned before, scenery's great, costume's fantastic, that vintagey vibe is fantastic. A lot of vintage music is played throughout.
Michelle Gomez's hair.
Yeah. Well, even Zelda and Hilda, they have good hair.
Yeah, they have great hair.
Everybody in this show. Prudence's hair, those finger waves are impressive because those are super hard to do.
And she pulls that off, too.
I know, like, she not everybody good. Can do that. Everybody's hair is on point.
Yup. All right. So, let's wrap it up.
All right. Oh, I guess it's my turn, isn't it?
Surely is.
Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you today by our viewing pleasure and all the things we love, this is Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment.
Our viewing pleasure.
Yeah. Hot.
My viewing pleasure comes from a show that I talked about earlier called Titans, and it comes from the one and only Dick Grayson.
Oh, really now?
Mm-hmm. This is Brenton Thwaites, I think is how you say his last name. And, yeah, he's a real good...
He looks familiar.
He's a real good Dick Grayson. it's funny.
No puns?
Yeah, it's funny because he plays a detective in the show, and he looks like super young.
So he's
young.
A dick named Dick.
Yeah. But he looks like super young. And
see, how old is he?
He was born in 1989.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm like, are you really a police detective? Because you look like you're about 15.
Right.
But yeah.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. He was in The Giver.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But he's great. Like, he does brooding really, really well, which I think is very important.
You have to be able to brood very well.
You do. And I know, you know, I think that in the show, he's a lot more like Bruce, which we haven't met Bruce yet. But, you know, from what I know of Bruce, he's a lot more like Bruce than he intends to be, I think. But, yeah, he's got them dark eyes, too.
Hmm. He looks like somebody I would pick.
He kind of does, doesn't he?
He does.
See, I'm interested to see where you go, because I encouraged you to get out of your comfort zone last time. So we'll see.
I try, but sometimes things just don't happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much it happened. Because... Also, after a show I mentioned earlier, the beautiful Agent OA.
Uh-huh.
Real name, Zeko Zakai.
Zeko.
Z-E-E-K-O. Zeko Zakai. Oh, he got that chiseled, like, dimple. Oh yeah.
And no, that's reason, different. He's, yeah.
He's got the, I don't know, he's still tall.
Yeah, but Agent, still.
He's still tall, dark hair, same build. But when he's in that, like, FBI, you know, authoritative, mm-hmm. and then, like, you find out about his past, and you're all like, aww, mm-hmm. just want to pet you and tell you it's okay and that you're pretty.
He is pretty.
He is pretty.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Damn, I'll have to start watching that show.
Apparently, he was on that show, Valor, that I tried on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember him, to be honest. That sounds really bad. But remember, I was so super excited about that show mm-hmm. because it was a unit of helicopter pirates at Pilot Pirates. I want to be a helicopter pirate. Hey, that sounds cool. New job goal. But it was helicopter pilots, and they use Black Box a lot. So I was originally excited for that show, and then it went.
Yeah, it did.
Real fast.
I'm writing helicopter pirates.
Bewitchingly beautiful helicopter pirates.
That's what it says. Oh, and, you know, just fun fact. I've been using, you know, I use the old-fashioned notebook and pen to, like, write notes about our episodes. And I've had this notebook since...
I've had a notebook since we started.
I've had it... I've got... since episode 7.
But I'm going to be honest in saying that I think, like, the last handful, maybe more episodes, I've not written it down.
Yeah, actually, I have a couple of those, too, where I don't have hardly any notes, but other shows in here, too, but... yeah, so I filled up this notebook, so I officially have to go get Geek and Sassy notebook number 2.
Okay. See, I'm like Russell Sellers. I may be a planner in my everyday life, but on my Geek and Sassy life, I'm better when I wing it.
Yes. That is how we work. I mean, because we tried the organization thing.
We tried, Russell. We tried.
We did. And it just felt...
I felt like we were on a news report.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Since you won't let me talk in my NPR voice, there's no way that needs to be happening.
Hey, I didn't say you couldn't.
You laughed the whole time.
I can mute.
Like I muted myself through pretty much this whole episode because I coughed.
Speaking of Russell Sellers, I want to point y'all to a couple of episodes of... his show, it is called Post Crisis Management. He had his 3rd episode of that one drop recently.
Hooray.
And what else is going on in the pop feed? The Hard Traveling Fanboys, of course, they just did a countdown of Stan Lee's. I think they did top 5 Stan Lee creations.
Yeah, we didn't mention that.
Yep. So that was a good one. What else is on the pop feed that I've listened to? Mostly just my shit.
Are you still doing your drive-in?
Yeah. The last one I did was on Halloween, dropped on Halloween. So I'm supposed to record another one this week. So another Talk and Pop this week. So those will be coming out hopefully soon.
I still would like to guest eventually on your horror podcast there.
Oh, you're definitely.
I feel like everybody would be like, really? It's just going to be an episode of Geek and Sassy.
But no, it'll be different because it'll be a live watch.
Different, yeah. And I gotta decide like what my favoriteest thing is that I could be like, Jenny, I want to do this one.
Yes.
Because that's the consensus if you haven't listened to Jenny's new show yet, which why have you not? Every episode is a different movie, essentially, horror movie. Mm-hmm. And then she discusses it with someone special.
I like to get somebody who has some sort of connection to the movie or, you know, that really loves it or knows a lot about it or, you know, just so there's good conversation. And, you know, you and I don't have that problem. But, you know, I think that, I don't know, it just adds something. And
as long as you don't make me watch I See Dead People.
No, I won't make you watch it.
I know. I'm weird. I can't help it.
We're going to watch something way scarier than that.
Wait. Okay, that movie, okay, I like all kinds of things. That one just messes with me because it's too real.
Mm-hmm. I'll pick something good for you.
Can't do it.
Unless, you know, you come up with something. Let's see, Sunday Groove is also on our feed. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. Songs with Friends.
Which I apologize, I have not listened to Songs of Friendship.
Better get on that.
There's just so many shows, and that's not a bad problem to have,
it's
guys.
It's really not. And then, of course, the wrestling feed. So many awesome things to listen to over there. What else do we need to plug? Twitter. I'm at JennyCruz 2814 and also at Geek and Sassy.
I don't know. Did you get logged back into our Geek and Sassy?
I sure did.
Okay. I was just checking there.
And Miranda is at Mom's a Nerd. Both of those. We have the Facebook page. We have the Instagram.
We do have the Instagram. Usually, if it's on the Instagram, it goes on the Twitter and the Facebook as well.
There you go. You know what you're doing.
I know how to link it.
Yeah, you're good. So next time, I totally forget what we're doing. So that's okay. We don't need to plug that.
I don't know if we officially decided.
All right. Well, we'll figure some shit out.
So it'll maybe be, maybe, can we say maybe we'll give them something Christmassy?
Perhaps. I could see that being a thing that we do.
Because, I mean, we're halfway through almost to the end of November, so.
Yeah, could be.
Something Christmassy, maybe.
Well, that's it. We're done, and thank you for listening.
Yes.